First of all, I want to sing a song. If you don't want mine, maybe you mind, but I'm going to still sing it. This song here is written by a group called Third Day. And the message is so vivid and so clear that I don't think you can mess it up. I could mess up the words, don't get me wrong, but I just want to sing it and just take from it what you will. All right? Should have had it queued up. Well, I've heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with the one he loved. Well, how many times has he broken that promise? It can never be done. And I've never climbed the highest mountain, but I walked the hill of Calvary and just to be with you, I would do anything. There's no price I would not pay, yeah. Just to be with you, I would do anything. I would give my life away, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've heard it said that a man would swim the ocean just to be with the one he loves. Well, all those dreams are an empty emotion. It can never be done. Well, I've never swam the deepest ocean, but I walked upon the raging sea, and just to be with you, I would do anything. There's no price I would not pay, yeah. Just to be with you, I would give everything. I would give my life away. Know that you don't understand the fullness of my love, how I died upon the cross for your sin. And I know that you don't realize how much shine I gave you, but I promise I would do it all again. Just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay, yeah. Just to be with you, I would give everything. Yes, I gave my life away, yeah. Gave my life away, yeah. Just to be with you. Just to be with you, just to be with you. Yeah. Well, and that's what Jesus did. He came to this earth to be with you. See, when God created us, He created man and woman, didn't he?
Yep. Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. It said that in the beginning, this earth was just void. Didn't have anything in it. Didn't have no animals. Didn't have no nothing. It maybe didn't even have no shape. I don't know. But it said it was void. It said the Spirit of the Lord hovered over it. Then it also said that when God started speaking into existence, everything that we see, the trees, the animals, the fish, everything, he spoke it into existence. But when it came to man, he took his time. He took some clay from the ground, started molding it, making a head, making some arms, kind of like Play-Doh. Then we blew breath into it, into this mud, this dirt, whatever you want to call it, dust. And it became life. And when he did that, he put him in a garden. Put Adam in a garden. And he seen that Adam was by himself. And the Lord's like, it's not good for man to be alone. And I will put my hand up. That is so true. It's not good for man to be alone. So I gave him a wife. Gave him a woman. Or vice versa. Then what happens? They mess up, right? They don't listen to God. They do what they want to do. Yet all the trees were just as beautiful as that one in the middle. But what people don't understand or maybe miss is that there was another tree right beside the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was the tree of life. Man, they could have had all the trees and the tree of life. But what they do? They see that tree that God said, hey, keep your hands off it. It's mine. Don't want you to get all messed up with that knowledge, good and evil. Sometimes I wish I wouldn't know good or evil. When you lose your innocence, that's when you start knowing good from evil. So, they messed up. God said, don't eat from this tree. The day you do, you'll surely die. And that's what happened. Did they die right away? It said, Adam was 900 and some years old. Some people say, oh, there ain't no way, man. 900 and some years old. But with God, all things are possible. One day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like one day. No matter to God. So, bottom line is, they messed up. God already made preparations for them. He already made preparations for them. It said, let me read you this right here. Nobody got no Bibles, right? Huh? Anybody got a Bible? Come on now. You know what?
They got Google.
Huh? Don't tell you what. This is a weapon.
Yeah.
It's the weapon of our warfare. It's not carnal. We don't win wars with guns, with swords and spears. This is called a sword. It's the sword of the spirit. And God giving it to you to defend yourself. Yeah, it'll be all right. So I want to read you something in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. This is in the NIV. Yeah. Praise be to the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Before anything was ever done, God had good intentions for you. He had good intentions for Adam and Eve. He wanted them to thrive. He wanted them to be in a beautiful place. He didn't want them to have to strive. He didn't. But guess what? When they ate from that tree, what happened? The ground got hard. The ground got hard. There was thistles and all kinds of bad things came up out of the ground. They got kicked out of the garden. Huh? That's why we got to get up and go to work. Did you know that? That is why we get up, because by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have what you need. But before that, God supplied all the needs of Adam and Eve. I told you before, they were naked. Didn't need no clothes. They were looking good. Suntan, walking around. It said in the cool of the evening, they would come and walk with God. They'd walk with God, the Creator, the heaven. Ain't that awesome? So, okay, so let me go on. So I get excited sometimes, so don't mind me. For He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. He has some good things for us. He wants to be sonship. To the praise of the glorious grace, which is freely given to us in accordance with His pleasure and will. Wait, did I read that wrong? To the praise and glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood for forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom, all understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, in whom we also are chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when we heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You believed, and you were marked in Him with a seal and the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise and the and His glory. Huh? You stamped. You got a stamp on you. Do you remember when Cain killed his brother Abel? What happened to that guy? Huh? He got a mark on him. Well, guess what? I don't know if any of you killed anybody, but I'm just saying, God put a stamp on you. When you come to receive Him in your heart, you come to follow His Son Jesus, you got a stamp on you, the Holy Spirit. He sealed you off to the devil and to anything else that would try to come against God's plan for your life. And way back here, He said that before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight, in love. That's what He wanted. He wanted you to be holy. He wanted you to be blameless. So then Adam messes up. Eve messes up. Now we've got all kinds of blame. We got all kinds of sin. Now we're against God. But see, God, even before the foundations of the earth, Jesus was already there, and He was already getting ready to send Him to the earth for us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, that He made plans way before you even knew that he made plans. Way before I even knew God, he had made plans for me. How many of you know the story of Jesus' birth? You know, it's full of suspense. It's full of danger. And it's almost like a novel. It's exciting. It's amazing. It almost seems like it never could happen. Science fiction, maybe. Think, come on now. What are you trying to tell me? Let's just go ahead and read it. Let's find out what we got here. This is the birth of the Messiah. It's in Matthew 1, starting with verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant. What? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. See, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Then Joseph woke up. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. We're going to go on to 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw a star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he called a meeting with the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'O you Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come out from you, and he will be a shepherd to my people Israel.'" And Herod called a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star appeared. Then he told them to go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and then when you find him, come back and tell me that I may go to worship him. After the interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down to worship him. And then they opened their treasure chest, gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with his child and his mother. And the angel said, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years and older, 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal actions fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. That pretty amazing. It's an amazing story just in and of itself. For one, it was about two young people. They're wanting to get married. You know, that's a natural thing, right? So they did a thing where they would give a dowry. Like you put a down payment down. Okay. You put a down payment down. I don't want to say what I said last time. I had to do something with Beyonce. But anyway, but God, He is, so, okay, so they had a deal called about a dowry, and then they would have, you know, she was betrothed. This, Mary was betrothed to him. That means she was promised to him. That means that they had a contract. That means that she just couldn't go and mess around anymore. She couldn't do that before. That wasn't right in the eyes of God or the people at that time. But now, in this courting time, this betrothed time, she gets pregnant. And she's a pregnant virgin. Now, how does that happen? How does it happen? We know it was from the Lord Himself, don't we? It said the Holy Spirit set it all up. The Holy Spirit did this. He's the same one that hovered over the earth. Then when God spoke into existence different things, the Holy Spirit went ahead and boom, it was done. Boom, it was done. Huh? That's what the Holy Spirit's job was. Just take care of business. See? Jesus was the spoken. He was the living word. That's why He had to come to this earth for me and you. He had to show us that I'll come just like you, born into a woman. But He had to come a different way. He had to come without being touched by this human life. He had to be... If somebody had touched Mary and she had this child, had sexual relations with her, and she had this child like the normal, then we'd still be in a bad situation. We'd still be in a bad situation because we wouldn't have no way to be saved. Because see, Jesus came and He did it right. Why? Because He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. So see, He had to come this way. And only God could make that happen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Ain't no man that could say, "Hey, I did this trick." I did this trick. There ain't no way. Ain't no way. So miraculous. Then you got the wise men. They're also called three kings. We three kings of Orient. You know that song. They're either called the wise men or three kings. And they see this star. They say, "Wow, look at that star. There's something funny about that star." So They might have been scientific men. They might have known something about stars. They might have been studying the stars. Who knows? It said they were wise. But it also calls them three kings. So, here they are. They're following the star. They're following the star. So they stop off at the king that's in the house at that time. Now it's King Herod. And they tell him about, ask him about, where is this king going to be born? This new king. Herod gets all flustered. He's scared of a little baby. He's scared of a little baby. He's like, ah. Tell you what, why don't you go check him out. Come back. Tell me where he's at. I'm coming to worship him just like you. Yeah. He's a tricky little guy. But what happens? The wise men get talked to by the angel. Joseph got talked to the angel because Joseph was, at the time, he was going to put Mary away. He was going to divorce her in private. See, he had all kinds of rights. He could have brought her out into public. He could have had her stoned. Uh-huh. And I don't mean getting drunk. Uh-uh. I don't mean getting high. He could have had her been stoned to death for what she did. It's a contract. It's like any contract you sign out here. You go against it, they'll take you into court. So, his contract been broken. He could have. But what's the angel say? He said, take Mary as your wife. It's cool. You know, just go do it. Take care as your wife. Now, this is a big thing for me, because I'm thinking, okay, I just got married 8 months ago. 8 months? Nine. Sorry, Pam. So, now he's got to wait till the baby's born to know his wife. You just got married. You've been waiting for this day for a long time, and you got to put the brakes on. You got to whoa it up. Now, that's got to be God, too. That's got to be God, because how would a man have that kind of, you know?
No ambiance.
No ambiance, no nothing. Yeah. So, the angel told him to take Mary. He listened. It said the angel commanded him in another version. The wise men went to see Jesus, but they stopped and seen Herod first. Herod said, go find him. Let me know where he's at. I'll come and worship him too. The angel came to them and told him, don't go the same way you went. Go a different route. Then what happens? This is where it starts to get really interesting. Then what happens? Then Herod finds out that these wise men, you know, wise men, what they call them, wise guys in the mafia, they get put out, do something crazy like this. But these wise men, they're going this different route. And Herod finds out that he got tricked. Oh, they ain't come back. Oh, man, I'm mad. Whoo, we got to go do something about this new king. So what's he do? He sends soldiers to this town of Bethlehem to kill off all these kids. It got real serious real fast, didn't it? It got real serious real fast. First, you have a woman that could have got stoned to death over here because she broke a contract. Now, you got these kids. You got Jesus that's born, and you got a king that's mad. And now he's sending people to hit men to take you out. But the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, get the girl, get your wife, and get the boy, and let's go. We got to go. So they left. They slaughtered kids from 2 years on down. Just slaughtered them. It was dangerous. See, the devil hates it. The devil's always going to come after you. He's always going to try to mess up God's plans. He's always going to try to take out those that are following God. Yeah. Do you know he hates you? He hates you with a hate that you cannot believe. And you know why he hates you? Because you look like God. Amen. You were made in the image of God. Hallelujah. You and I were made in his image. Amen. And guess what? If you grab a hold of this tonight, if you understand what Jesus came to do, and that was to set you free. Hallelujah. From your sin.
Hallelujah.
From the death of sin, because sin causes death. You keep on sinning, somewhere along the line, you're going to die. You keep on living for Jesus, somewhere along, you might die before he comes back to get us. But guess what? You have an everlasting life to live out. This ain't it. This is temporal, right here. Just temporal. It's just for a little bit. But you're going to live on forever and ever. And ever and ever and ever. And I pray if you've accepted Jesus, you know this. You will live with him forever and ever and ever. He told the thief on the cross. What did he tell him? This day you'll be with me in paradise. He also said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. All those who want to follow me, I go to prepare a place for you. But it's up to us. There's another place too. You don't want to visit. You don't want to get no mail there. You don't want nothing from that place, because it was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for God's creation. God's greatest creation. You were God's greatest creation. The wise men came. They put their gifts before Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight I want to ask you, what are you going to bring to the King?
Hallelujah.
What are you going to bring to the King of Kings today? This Christmas, what are you going to give him? What do you have that's of value?
My soul.
Okay. Amen.
Obedience.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. He wants your heart.
Amen.
He wants your mind. Mm-hmm. And he wants your body. See, the Bible says that if he only got half of you, if he only got a quarter of you, then you still his, Satan's.
Yep.
If you don't give him 100%, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He says, Satan will try to hook on somewhere. He'll try to hook on to your body, or he'll try to hook on to your mind. To sin against the Father.
Sin and counterfeit joy.
That's right. So, tonight is my question to you. What are you going to bring the King?
Amen.
It's not a hard question.
How are my eyes?
If you knew how much he loved you. It's also said when I was reading that he lavishes his love upon you. You know what I think about when I think about lavishing? I think like splashing, gushing. I'm like, yeah, bring it on, Lord. If he was showering down $1 million bills, you'd be like, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Right? So that's my question for you tonight. What does Christmas mean to you? And what are you going to bring the King? The King of Kings. Because I heard more people here tonight say that it's about Jesus' birth. It's about Jesus coming to the earth. And I say it's because I said that He is the fulfillment of the promise. He is the promise that we've been waiting for. If you wonder why you're here on earth, you're here to glorify Him. That's what the Word of God says. You're here for Him. A lot of times we think, we'll see you, Jesus, on Sunday. My dad used to wave at the Lord as he went by the church. How you doing, Lord? That was my dad. But he come to know Jesus. When he come to know Jesus, he broke down like a baby. And when he did, he didn't hold back no tears no more. He went, because like I said, you know, he taught us that crying was not for guys. I was weak. But guess what, man? You show your heart to the Lord, He'll take it. If you offer it to Him, He'll take your heart. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've done in life, He loves you. That song I sang, it's all about the love God has for each and every one of us. He's done it all. He went to the cross. He took the beating. He paid for everything. All we got to do is say, okay, Lord, yes. And this world will want to try to drag you down, try to keep you right where you're at. He'll try to keep you in a hole. And they'll dig it for you. Like I said, the devil hates you. He helps out a lot with that. But God loves you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. You belong to Him. You got all heaven backing you. You got all the angels. You got that Holy Spirit we just talked about. He gives you strength to overcome. You got His Word. And you got Jesus' blood. You know, one drop of Jesus' blood, it can send all kinds of demons to flight. Anyway, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. I can never leave without giving you an invitation. So I'm going to ask you, nobody's looking. If you need prayer, if you want God to come into your life, I ask you just to raise your hand. Amen. 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 All right. We all going to pray this little prayer, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we accept what Jesus did on the cross. We ask you to forgive us of our sin. Come in. And Lord, be Lord of my life. And help me to complete what you want me to do in this life. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So there you go. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you don't have to do it here. Let's say maybe you wasn't feeling it. You don't have to do it here. You get alone with God. You do it with Him, you and Him. And He'll still take you. Thank you. God bless you.